Blog Talk Radio. Blog.
Truth.
Oh, I see some heart in the prophecy zone. When is he coming back? When is the end of days?
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Phil Armstrong, and I'd like to thank y'all for joining us this Wednesday night. We have a hour-long show, and we are going to be talking about the 10 signs of the U.S. becoming a third world country, and it has to do a lot with our loss of the opportunity to assemble. We know that that is coming to the United States, but first, I'd like to quickly talk about some of the things that have been going on with this ministry. We are going to be talking about a lot of things as the prophecy goes on. We're going to be starting today talking about a little bit about false prophets. Now, a lot of people who bring the truth to the light are going to be criticized and talked about, but mainly what Jesus said, prosecuted. And the prosecutions will come from everywhere. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, and I've been prosecuted for having one of my ladies that was hosting my show, Susan Poggio, on. I've been criticized for having her on. And the other thing she talked about is what's true. And a lot of people, either they be Blog Talk Radio normal people or some outside sources are coming against this ministry. And even demonic forces come against me as I reveal the truth. But I also have to watch my own life. And I have to watch the hypocrisy of my whole life, because Satan will bring out the hypocrisy, and he will actually bring out anything that could demean the life and the thought that a Christian, which is myself and you and whoever's listening, should be having. And he can use anything. He can use anybody. And what he wants to do is come to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus has come that we may have life, and that much more abundantly. And God comes to bring peace. He is the true Prince of Peace. Jesus is the true Prince of Peace. And Satan wants to take that peace from us. I'm going to play a clip, and I want y'all to listen to it very closely, and then we'll be back.
Now, you know, we're under the blood of Jesus, so we can't shoot and stone people like we used to. All we have to do is repent, and God will forgive us and take us where we need to be. But I tell you, man, if it wasn't for the blood, there'd be a whole lot of us being stoned and being in hell right now, but over the time. But for the blood of Jesus, we'd be doomed. I mean, I thought about when we first built the dome, I wanted to put some of those little moving bars and give everybody a little card. They stick it in a little computer slot. And if they were tithing, beautiful music would go off. And, you know, welcome, welcome, welcome to the world, dome. But if they were non-tithers, the bar would lock up.
Except the night.
The red and blue lights would start going. The siren would go off. And a voice would go throughout the entire dome. Crook, 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 crook. Security would go and apprehend them. And once we got them all together, we'd line them up in the front and pass out Uzis by the ushers. We'd point out our Uzis right at all those non-tithing members because we want God to come to church. And at the count of three Jesuses, we'd shoot them all dead. And then we'd take them out the side door there, have a big hole, bury them, and go ahead and have church and have the anointing. Aren't you glad we're under the blood of Jesus? Because if we were not under the blood of Jesus, I would certainly try it. Folks, this is a serious thing.
Now, let me address what you just said. Technically, if it was the Old Testament, he's actually right. If it's a big, huge if. If it was the Old Testament, he is right. But show me somewhere, and what I'm referring to is not keeping the law, not having someone go, which is a priest, go across the whole continent, walk across half a continent, and for the sins of a tribe or sins of a nation, go into the temple. Because remember, these guys had to die to them to go into the most holy of holies. And technically, Kepler Dollar is right about what he's saying, but the problem I have is that the tithe now in the New Testament, I'm not trying to break away from and saying that the tithe is not biblical, which is the tithe is biblical, but the tithing is a heart issue. And God didn't say we have to be, we're going to go to hell because we didn't pay tithing. Now, what happened to Ananias and Sapphira was quite unusual because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Those guys that they lied to seen Jesus. So the Spirit of God was hot back then. I mean, the Spirit of God was all upon these guys. And it lying to them is just like lying to the Holy Spirit. But see, these days, lying to a preacher, I mean, we've been affected so much. These preachers today have been affected so much by society itself that these people lose their oomph and their power. And what we're doing is playing footsie with the world and playing worldly church. But there is a lot of preachers on fire for God, and I'm not saying that. Now, here's what the tithe, the Bible says in the New Testament, and I got to look, and I'm looking for it right now, it says, do not give grudgingly, but whatever man's proportion of his heart. And I got to remember what that is because I don't have a chat room open. And I should have had that ready, but I wasn't going to talk about the tithe. I was going to go a different route, but the Holy Spirit reminded me again. But, here it is. The Holy Spirit didn't found it for me. Now, if y'all was here with me, y'all probably said, wow, what's the chance of that happened? Maybe it was God. That's, man, I'm for real. I just opened it up, and here it is. It's in 2 Corinthians 9:7. So, I'm going to read it from two versions. And it's saying that if you got to pay light bills, are you going to have your family in the dark? Now, let's look at this first. God said be the head and not the tail. We suffer because we do not pay attention to God's word. We suffer. I'm saying we. It says, what a man sows, so shall he reap. And that's in 2 Corinthians 9:6. And if we sow to bad habits and we are the tail, we're somebody's butt rather than the head, we're going to owe everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry. We're going to owe everybody. So it is our duty as Christians to give our time, money, and energy to the betterment of the kingdom of God. Where a man's heart is, so shall his treasures also be. So where a man's treasures are, so shall his heart be. You can intertwine that any way you want. But where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. Okay, so let's look at where, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 8, 5. Okay, I think I just, hold on. Okay, bear with me here because I'm okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 9, 7. And that is talking about, so I'm going to read it out of the, what is it, Nelson, and I, New King James. And I like the King James myself. I'm a King James man. So that is where I'm coming from. So it's 2:9-7. So let each one give as bountifully. So let each man give as bountifully. Verse 7 here. So let each one give as the purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. It says that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. So it says in the Word of God that he who sows sparingly should also reap sparingly. So the practical application of God's word is still there from the Old Testament, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So God watches what you do with your finances. And see, the scary thing is that remember the talent spoken of in the Gospels? Remember some one person had five, the other had ten, and the other had one and hid it? Well, you can also, and also says in Matthew that someone who spends their money sloppily, why should he give them a big city or a city? So we're gonna go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead and play that. Play the second part of that again. I play the second part for the first time, and then we may play the first part later on. Here we go.
This next clip is the part two of that Preflo dollar oozing up the church because they're not paying tithe.
If you take time to tithe correctly, it's impossible to go to hell. Because you're doing all of that, man, tithe will keep you in heaven. It'll keep you in the presence of God.
I'm buying heaven, by the way. It's a purchase. Actually, I thought Jesus was the one who purchased.
We know that the tithe on the cross is the agreement. We know the tithe, according to this, we're believing right now the tithe is the covenant. I'm telling you that your tithe is your covenant connector. I'm telling you that all the promises that God ever gave you, you cannot get them without being connected to them with the tithe. I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get hooked up to healing is through the tithe. I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get hooked up to prosperity, deliverance, or any promise in the Word of God is through the tithe.
I thought it was through Jesus. Jesus is the only way to the promises of God. The bridge is set forth, and there's only one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. It is not the tithe, and else we'd be paying my way to heaven. And paying our way to be healed. He says, by his stripes we are healed.
Woo! I got to walk on this money. Woo! 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 Get some more nuggets. You put somebody else. Woo!
Look at the miracle, baby. Look at the miracle, baby.
Put this on money.
preachers going crazy off of money. Off of tithing.
Topic there because I really couldn't hear my own self. But I'm going to have to go ahead and finish up with this part, portion of the show. But it says, and I have a book from Chuck Smith from Calvary Chapel, and it says, the only way to give to God is from a willing and grateful heart. God never wants to feel pressured to give. I'm sorry. God never wants you to feel pressure to give. And I never want to say anything to anyone that pressures him to give. It is between you and the Lord. And don't complain about how much you have given. God doesn't want your gift if that is your attitude. Keep your gift. The Greek word for carefully means hilarious. If you aren't hilarious about your opportunity to participate in God's word and what God is doing by giving, keep your money. God doesn't want it. Now, what he means by that is that there's a certain chill of your spine when it comes to giving for some type of a ministry that's far, far off, and that you know that that bread, if you cast it out into the sea, it will return back to you. And not only that, it will return back in eternity. See, I don't spend my time trying to figure out, well, of course I'd be lying to you if I said I don't want a blessing. But I don't spend my time right about now trying to figure out what kind of Rolls Royce God will give me for giving him $2. I don't want a return on my investment. And let's go back to the salvation issue. Creflo Dollar makes it, and I'm pretty sure he's referring to the Old Testament, but Creflo, because you have to keep the law, and if it was like that now. But Creflo Dollar, first of all, I got some stuff for y'all. These guys in the faith movement, I'm going to be talking about the faith movement, I'm probably going to get some attacks, but I'm looking forward to that. But I'm not going to always be talking about going after some of these guys. I'm going to be talking about everything else, which I'm going to be doing tonight also. And if you enjoy this show, please favorite. And also make sure you go on Facebook and share this with your friends. And also, if you can, go to Prophecy Zone Facebook group and join it, because we're looking for many members. Start promoting giver, but he's also working with the suburb. Okay, the next segment we're going to be talking about is false prophets talking about we are God. And I had some interesting tomorrow. I'm hoping to do another show, and this will come to be a practically about false prophets. But we're not going to hang in this area 100%. We pray it sometimes because God wants us to do a lot more than just ridicule somebody else. So what we're doing is we're pointing out truth. We're pointing out truth. We're also pointing out error. So keep that in mind. I wanted to upload some more files that pertain to false prophets talking about we are God. And a lot of times these guys use, it's just like the rapture people, but the anti-rapture people use weird scripture to point out what they believe. These guys talk about the books of Judges when the judges were declared God. It is, and Jesus referred to it. In the Gospels, we would say we are God. Remember that there's only one God. And the Bible has proclaimed that there is only one God. And the Bible declares that in 2 Second Timothy. I'm going to read that to y'all, and I'm going to look in the King James, rather, because it is very important that we remember that Jesus' enemies was mad at him because he declared himself God. Now, how did he do that? Because some of the faith movement people say, well, he didn't do that. How did he do that? How did he declare that he was God? Well, it's simple. He said that me and the Father are one. So if he's declaring that me and the Father are one, then that means he's making himself equal. So his enemies knew that pretty well, that he was declaring himself to be God. Now, with that being said, why didn't they get mad at the disciples? Because they wouldn't declare themselves God. Show me in the New Testament, clearly after Acts, where God, and show me in Acts 2, in the Testament, in the Gospels, show me when he was declaring himself God, and he was also declaring everybody else's God. Don't pick me one line. Give me many scriptures. And that's what we're going to be doing and over the weeks. We're going to be doing that a lot. Verse 2:5. For there is one God. So it says that in 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So there is one God. So we're not, nowhere in the gospel is it told us to make it to deity. Nowhere in the gospel is it told for us to make it to Godhood. But it says, be holy for I am holy. Now that's because we are his children. He's going to give us power and strength. Now let me touch on this. Remember in the Garden of Eden, Satan, came up to Eve and he says, well, if you eat from that, he don't want you eating from that bush, because if you eat from that bush, you're going to be like God. So they are doing, Satan is doing the same thing today that he did way back there 6,000 years ago, folks. He hasn't changed his stripes one bit. And see, if he can get people thinking that they're God, then let all these seers will kick in. The Laodicean church will kick in. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to go ahead and take a break. I'm going to let y'all listen to Reverend Ike, and I'll be right back.
But you see, the problem is not to get God to give you anything. Now, I love to see people's faces when I tell them this. And I'm looking at yours right now. Buckle your seatbelt and pin down your wings.
Just a little bit orthodox in my doctrine for a moment.
Let me quote Paul somewhere in Romans, where he says, he that hath given us his own Son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He that withheld not his own Son. Now, I've got a different heretical twist on that. Because most of you Christians believe that Jesus is God's only kid and the rest of us are bastards. Excuse me, doctors. But there is only one difference between every man and Jesus. Only one. And again, it is in the area of that word consciousness. What makes Jesus Jesus? What makes Jesus the Son of God? The fact that Jesus was conscious of his divine oneship, sonship. And I am suggesting the heresy to you that the beloved Son of God is not just an historic personality, but the one relationship of every man to God.
Noticed that I only put it in for 30 minutes. So
I have to stop that recording, so I apologize, but we will continue part two tomorrow. And actually, what we're going to end up doing is probably having a show a little bit more often, playing the archives, and we'll do part one, part two, part three if we have to. So I thank y'all for listening, and y'all have a wonderful day. God bless.